Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to the penultimate episode of Fort Laramie. We have a Fort Laramie for you and a Gunsmoke for you as well. And the Fort Laramie this time has Lawrence Dobkin playing a Native American named Charlie. And it's probably one of the biggest parts I've seen for a Native American character on this show. And it's just a really interesting episode to hear. So I think you'll enjoy it. And next week we present the final episode of Fort Laramie. And then we have to decide what we're doing after that. But I have some ideas, so we shall talk. Anyway, enjoy this episode and have a good Thanksgiving. And we'll see you next time.
At the gallop! Oh!
Fort Laramie. Fort Laramie, starring Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
You hear anything now, Gorse?
A lot of little sounds, but not the moaning. Might be he's dead, Captain.
Might be. This is where his horse came out, this clearing. He shouldn't be much further in, dead or not.
You a hand to see in the dark, are you?
Not much, no.
I can always light this lantern, you know.
You want to be seen, do you?
Well, if he's dead, he won't see no lantern.
If he isn't?
I still can't see in the...
How's your hearing in the dark?
I heard that all right.
Just ahead, Gorse. You can light your lantern now. Hold it closer. Toward his face.
He looks kind of young, Captain. Kind of wild, too.
He's full of pain and scared. Do you speak the tongue of white man?
I speak.
Our camp is back by the river. We'll carry you there.
You kill?
No. Got a canteen, Gorse?
Yes, Captain.
Give him a drink.
You'll mind the lantern?
I'll mind it.
Can you lift your head up to it?
Oh, no, no drink.
What's the matter with you? You shot up for fair. You must be burning inside.
You drink some of it, Gorse.
Oh, yeah. You see, Injun, good water. Now you drink.
No. No drink.
Looks like his right leg, Gorse. A couple nicks across his belly.
What kind of show I got to put on to make him drink?
Well, drink some more.
Captain, I swilled down 3 cups of coffee before he come riding through the camp. I got no...
Another tea. Swallow or two. Now, go ahead.
Well. Now then, Injun, you got to make up your mind. Either it's good water or I got a taste for drinking poison. Now, which will it be?
Other man, you drink?
I'm not thirsty. You need a drink, take it. You don't, leave it be.
Give. Drink.
You born contrary, or you just come along that way?
Good water. Good.
Didn't I tell you?
What's your name?
Charlie.
Charlie?
Fine. Charlie, you got one good leg. We'll help you up on it, Gorse.
Oh!
What kind of Indian name is Charlie?
Good American name, Charlie.
You can't argue that with him, Gorse.
Charlie?
Come on, we can make camp from here.
He's sleeping, Captain.
He's bound to. He lost a lot of blood.
Did you watch him eat? He'll gain back his strength in no time.
Did he do any talking?
Mostly he ate and smiled. Kept asking everyone to call him Charlie.
Good American name, Charlie.
What do you think about him, Captain?
Well, there's not much to think about him, Mr. Syberts. Takes pain well. He smiles. He eats a lot.
I mean, the way he rode right up to our camp alone. Rode right past the pickets without any fear at all, apparently.
And got shot for his trouble.
Yes, wouldn't you think he'd expect that, Captain?
I'd expect it. You would. Maybe Charlie's different.
Tinkham and Prebos, they both swear he made no move to fire back, just rode like the devil for the woods.
You redoubled the pickets, Mr. Syberts?
Yes, sir, I did. I guess you think maybe Charlie wasn't alone?
I told you, there's not much to think about Charlie right now. If he wanted more than food and a good drink of water, he hasn't said. I can't take the chance he's alone.
The tourniquet stopped the bleeding.
Then maybe we'll know more about Charlie tomorrow.
You going to cut the bullet out tomorrow, Captain?
I'm going to cut at least three of them out.
Three, Captain? But Tinkham and Prebost said...
Charlie was wounded before he got here, Mr. Syberts.
Come ask question, Captain.
How do you feel this morning, Charlie?
Charlie, feel fine. Leg feel bad.
Yeah, I'll bet it does. All right, if I look at it?
You look.
Mm. Charlie, do you drink whiskey?
Whiskey?
Know what it is?
Like water?
Like fire water.
Whiskey like fire water?
Just like it. You drink fire water?
Burn. From mouth all down to belly. Make cough, make sick, make bad head.
That's it.
I like.
You got three, maybe four bullets in that leg. If I don't cut them out, you'll die, Charlie. If I do, it'll hurt. Bad. You want whiskey for the hurt, you can have it.
Leg very bad.
Yeah, it is.
Here's the water you asked for, Captain. Brought it right from the fire.
Thanks, Gorse.
You gonna bind him fast, or you want me to hold him?
And that's up to Charlie.
You bring whiskey.
Now, where am I gonna get whiskey?
Leg very bad.
Over there, Gorse, in my bedroll.
Yes, sir. I suppose I gotta take a couple of gulps before you figure it's safe to drink, can't you?
You got bad leg?
Only bad thing I got's my temper.
Give Charlie whiskey. Charlie take for pain.
One thing, he ain't no dumb, ain't you?
Go on, Charlie, drink it down. Let me know when the leg doesn't hurt anymore.
White Captain, good friend, bring Charlie whiskey.
Mark the day, Charlie. It's the last whiskey you'll get from this white man. I'll need more boiling water, Gorse.
Mess Sergeant's got another pot going.
Oh, very good to have leg very bad.
Never mind the talk, just drink.
You sure ain't gonna need no setting on, Captain. Lapping it down at that rate, he'll be helpless inside of 5 minutes.
I'm counting on that, Gorse.
Whoa.
Let's go outside and leave him be.
I sure never seen the like of him.
He's not cut on any pattern I know either.
Whoa. That leg's bad just overnight. It's real bad. He say who shot him before we did?
There's a long list of things he's not said. Time for talk will come later.
Well, that's a quart of whiskey, Captain.
Oh!
It was a quart of whiskey, Gorse. Well, you ready for surgery?
You got a mind for it, sir?
I got a mind, but not much stomach for it. And let's get it over with, Gorse. Runner's still around, Mr. Syberts?
Yes, sir. He's having something to eat, Captain.
Well, when he's through that, he gets his rest.
He was asking about a fresh horse, sir.
He won't need one. There's no reply to this message. Time he's ready to move again, both him and his horse will be rested.
Do we have new orders, sir?
Major Daggett will be here tomorrow with a platoon from G Company. We're to wait for the rendezvous.
Major Daggett, yes, sir. Well, the message says to keep Pete Hazen here till the Major arrives.
Yes, and I'd do that if I'd laid an eye on Pete in a month.
I thought he was scouting up in the Bighorn country.
Last I heard, he was. Guess the Major's counting on reports from that area. Maybe we'll be moving up that way.
Are they talking about Charlie, Captain?
We're not going to find out sitting in a tent, Mr. Syberts. Crazy fool. Sergeant!
Yes, sir. Well, it happened too quick, Captain. I couldn't stop him.
The man can't walk yet. How could it happen too quick?
First I saw him, he'd crawled most down to the creek. His horse was tethered down there with the others, and you saw the rest of it. He just propelled himself up on that horse. And from the offside, the right side.
Indians don't know any better, neither do their horses. They always mount on the right side.
You want me to go after him, Captain?
No need. He's coming back.
I swear, Captain, he's putting on a show for us.
Yeah, they ride all over a horse. On his neck, his sides, under his belly. Either of you feel like much of a horseman now?
With one bad leg. You don't think he got hold of another jug of whiskey, sir?
I'll break the man who gave it to him if he did.
Captain, I guess he's played himself out.
Charlie, good rider, yes?
Charlie, stupid fool.
Leg very bad. White Captain, sorry, leg very bad.
Your leg's a sieve, but it's your leg. You can break it off and throw it away if you're of a mind.
Leg very bad, good friend. Bring Charlie whiskey.
I told you, Charlie, that's the last whiskey you'd get from me.
Charlie ride very good. Charlie show white man Indian trick.
No whiskey.
No whiskey. You... Other man, you have whiskey.
Not me, Charlie. Yeah, and don't look at me with your sore leg. I'll give you nothing.
Poor Charlie, hurt very bad.
Slide off that pony. I want to talk to you.
Oh, leg so bad.
Get off. Oh. Mind his horse, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Syberts, see the camps made ready for Major Daggett's arrival.
Yes, sir.
You were kicking that bad leg around real free. Can you bear weight on it, as far as my tent?
Whiskey in tent?
You want two bad legs?
Charlie, walk.
Here, I'll help you. Then, let me see that leg.
Charlie do bad thing to ride?
It should have killed you. But you're such a contrary cuss. It looks fine, Charlie. It's got no right to, but your leg looks fine.
Ooh.
Charlie. Who shot you? before we did.
White settler, he shoot 2-3 time.
Why?
Oh, Charlie try steal horses.
You ought to be shot for that. You ever lived on a reservation?
One time. Short time. Charlie not like reservation. Nothing can do. Charlie like steal horses.
You steal horses all alone, do you?
Sometime alone. Sometime with Cheyenne Brave. Charlie find horses. Tell others. They come, we steal.
That makes you a Cheyenne scout, then.
Charlie like steal horses. Also, hunt.
You're not Cheyenne, Charlie.
White Captain can tell Charlie not Cheyenne?
Well, you look more like a crow to me.
Yes, crow. Charlie Little Bear. All blood, crow. Sioux, Cheyenne, Arapaho, all drive crow people from land of father, from Bighorn. Charlie like Bighorn. Charlie live there. Even with Cheyenne.
There's no Cheyenne reservation in the Bighorn?
No reservation. Just Cheyenne Brave and Charlie. Like steal horses. Hunt.
You like to kill white men?
Charlie not kill white man. Not ever kill white man. Charlie friend. Got name from white man.
What white man?
Many years, when Charlie live with own people, white man come for hunt, furs. Teach Charlie speak tongue of white man. Then he die. Charlie take name of friend.
Mm-hmm.
You let Charlie go back, Bighorn. Hunt. Steal horses.
If you stole horses, you broke the law.
You put Charlie reservation?
I might. Might put you in jail, too. I might do almost anything with you, Charlie. Except give you whiskey.
Now, the last word we had from Hazen, the Bighorn, was as peaceful as Sunday church. Now, all through these valleys here, settlers are complaining of increasing Indian raids.
For horses, Major?
For horses, until the last few days. Runners are reporting a band of marauding Cheyenne, burning, massacring as they go.
Through here, you say? Long Stinking Water?
That's the Shoshone River, Captain.
The Indians call it Stinking Water.
Well, we're going there. Doesn't much matter what the Indians call it.
Might matter, Major.
How's that?
We can't wait for Pete Hazen. If there's a Cheyenne camp in the Bighorn, we'll need a scout to find it.
That's right.
Charlie Little Bear's an Indian. He can't pick a trail to the Shoshone River. But he'll sure know one to Stinking Water.
From what you said, this must be his band of Cheyenne who's responsible for the killing along the, Stinking Water. He's not about to lead you against his friends.
Charlie's a crow. I've never heard a crow boast about his scalps.
You're saying, then, that you trust Charlie?
I'm counting on him being a crow, that's all, Major.
Just look at that Charlie Little Bear, Captain. Smiling, riding easy. Think he was out on a happy hunting party.
I'm looking at him.
You call him a scout? I could have got us this far by myself.
You know where the Cheyenne camp is, Gorse?
No, sir.
But... Well, I don't either, but Charlie does. I'm hoping he'll lead us there.
Just because you fixed his leg, Captain?
Just because Charlie doesn't like killing, Sergeant. Charlie?
Yes, Captain.
You saw the last two ranches, Charlie. Fired, burned to the ground, stock runoff.
I saw no killing. No body of white man, like you said, Captain.
This is your country, though, Charlie. This is the work of your Cheyenne friends, isn't it?
Charlie see many Indian sign. Yes, Cheyenne. But no killing.
There's another ranch ahead, Charlie. Now, how's your leg holding up?
Oh, good. White Captain fixed leg very good. Charlie, not forget. Patrol! Halt!
Dismount. Search the premises.
Dismount.
Sergeant, report anything you can find to me. Anything.
Yes, sir.
Blood here, Captain. Dry blood. Marked the ground.
Yeah, a trail of it. Leads up to the cabin. Or what's left of it, anyway.
And many pony. Cheyenne pony.
You been here before, Charlie?
Not here. Old man live here. Not many horses. Charlie likes steal many horses.
Was that the old man? Or can you tell?
Hard to tell about old man. Too much head gone.
Well, we can't do much for him now, but bury him.
He was old man. Like white friend who gave Charlie name. Charlie friend die in peace.
Captain Quince, out here, sir.
Find something, Gorse?
Yeah.
This bundle of stuff on the far side of the cabin. A funny collection, Captain.
Relics. Four arrows. This thing, Gorse, made of skin and buffalo hair.
Two arrows for hunting, two for war. This marking, the hat of skin and hair, this all sacred to Cheyenne.
There's a old man dead inside the cabin, Sergeant. Fall in a burial detail.
Yes, sir.
You take it.
You sing death song for old man, Captain?
We'll just bury him, Charlie. And hope he's found his peace.
This day is old. Sun dies, too.
Yeah. We'll be making camp soon.
Charlie not like killing. With tomorrow's sun, Charlie lead you to Cheyenne camp.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman MacDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by Kathleen Height, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin as Charlie, Jack Moyles as Major Daggett, and Harry Bartell as Lieutenant Syberts.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. With the Far East as a backdrop, and with intrepid correspondent O'Hara right in the foreground, you're sure to have an exciting adventure every Monday night right here at the Star's Address. If you like your mystery on the fast-moving side, be sure you're listening to CBS Radio each Monday evening when another thrill-packed episode of O'Hara comes your way on most of these same stations. By L&M, the modern cigarette that lets you get full, exciting flavor through the modern miracle of the pure white miracle tip. Live modern. Smoke L&M. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
A nice clear evening, Mr. Dillon.
It'll be cold before morning, though.
Maybe old Doc ain't too far wrong.
Oh, what about?
Well, he claims winter's coming early this year. He claims we'll have snow before the end of the month.
He's just passing along Indian talk, Chester. They're all claiming the same thing.
Evening, Marshal.
Oh, how are you, Chester? Miss Cobb?
I do, Marshal. Chester.
Evening, ma'am.
Get up there.
I do declare, Mr. Dillon, that that ain't the most dilapidated old buggy I ever seen anywhere.
Yeah, Jezra believes in getting full value out of things. Making do, as he calls it. Mm. Yeah, let's get something to eat, huh?
Well, now, eating is something I get full value out of.
Yeah, I know. Let's sit over there by the window. Huh? Mm.
That team of Jezra's could do with some eating. The way their bones was sticking out.
Jezra figures fat on a horse is a sign that grain's being wasted.
We will you shortly, Marshal.
Okay.
He must figure the same thing about women. Ms. Cobb's bones was sticking out some, too.
Yeah, he probably works her half to death. Has to run a farm that size without any hired help.
Well, they sure do keep to theirselves.
People just don't take to Jezra much. He's got a pretty cool way about him. That is hard to say what she's like.
Yeah, that poor lady don't even open her mouth less than he tells her she can. Plain mousy, that's what she is.
What are you figuring to eat, gents?
Well, what do you got?
Stewed beef and boiled greens.
I guess that's what we'll eat, huh, Chester?
All right, I'll bring it right out.
Boiled greens. Boiled Jimson will eat more.
What?
See, that was up the end of the street, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, come on, Chester.
open up here. Let me through, will you, please? Will you let me through?
Hang on to that horse, it's mighty spooky.
What's the trouble, Jethro?
Marshal, you've allowed this town to become a sink of iniquity, a whited sepulcher.
How's that so?
A town of painted Jezebels, scoundrels, and murdering assassins. The name should be changed to Sodom or Gomorrah.
You all right, Miss Cobb?
Somebody tried to kill us, Marshal. They were standing right over there in the shadows.
Minerva, you'll kind of remember a woman's place.
Marshal asked me...
Silence.
Sorry, Jezebel.
Did you get a look at him?
We did not. The coward struck in the darkness. It was only a miracle we escaped.
Any of the rest of you see who fired those shots?
Hey, you're the law here, Marshal. I demand an accounting of this outrageous assault.
Jezra, do you know anybody who might think they got a reason to kill you?
I never had an enemy in my life.
Well, it looks like you got one now.
Free yourself of old-fashioned ideas.
Why don't you live modern? Live modern. Live, live, live modern.
Free up. Freshen up your taste.
Smoke an L&M.
Why are more people changing to L&M than to any other cigarette? Because only L&M lets you enjoy full, exciting flavor through the pure white miracle tip. L&M draws easier, tastes richer, smokes cleaner. So free up, freshen up your taste, get full, exciting flavor. Live modern. Smoke L&M.
Make today your big red letter day and start to live the modern way. Live, live, live modern. Smoke an L&M.
It's America's fastest growing cigarette.
Put a little more sugar in here. Yeah, that should fool Mrs. Putnam. Well, hand me that pill mold, will you, Matt?
Is this what you mean, Doc?
That's it. Thank you, thank you. Well, I got to make this prescription look real authentic.
Oh, what do you mean?
These are fooling pills. I've got nothing in them but sugar and some chalk and a little gum Araby to bind them.
So that's the kind of medicine folks get from you.
Oh, no, it's the kind old Mrs. Prudlin gets. Long as she figures they help her, it's all that's necessary. At least they don't do her any harm. Nothing wrong with her anyhow, except in her mind. There we are. We'll let that sit a while and dry, and then... Oh, say, you found out yet who fired those shots at old Jezra Cobb?
No, Doc. Not a hint.
That's a funny thing, Matt. I don't think I know a soul in Dodge that likes old Jezra.
Yeah, I know, Doc. But nobody really hates him, either. They just stay clear of him as far as they can.
Yeah, that's just it. He just isn't the kind of a man to rouse up strong feelings in anybody, good or bad.
Well, he must arouse some, and whoever tried to kill him or kill her, I don't even know for sure which one they were after, him or his wife.
You busy, Doc?
Huh? Oh. Well, come right in, Kitty.
Hello, Kitty.
Matt, what are you doing here?
Well, he's hiding from Jezra Cobb.
What?
Don't mind, Doc. I'll step outside, Kitty, if...
Oh, no, no, don't go, Matt. I just wanted to get something for a headache, Doc.
Oh, it's too bad. Well, dip yourself some water there. Here are some pills I just made up, Kitty.
Oh, not Doc, you're not...
Formula came straight from Boston.
Well, they can take care of this headache. They're miracle pills.
That's exactly what they are. Here you are. You swallow a couple of those.
Oh, thanks, Doc.
I personally guarantee those to stop the world's worst headache in 1 minute flat.
Yeah, they done wonders for Ms. Prudlin.
Mrs. Prudlin?
Pay no attention to him, Kitty. He's all upset over that shooting.
Well, I could name a few people who aren't upset over it.
Oh, which people?
Some of the girls at the Long Branch. He drops in about three times a year.
Jezra Cobb at the Long Branch?
Old self-righteous Jezra. And every time it means trouble, he always drinks too much and he bothers everybody.
Bothers him how?
By trying to reform him. And it's the girls who always get the worst of it.
Now, who'd have thought it?
He calls them painted Jezebels. Says he means to cure them of their transgressions. Of course, the only cure he seems to know is to grab a cane and beat the daylights out of any of them he can get his hands on.
I didn't know Jezra was that bad.
You ask some of the girls, Matt. Daisy or Billy Bell.
Yeah, I will, Kitty.
Doc, could I have some of those pills to take with me?
Kitty, Doc was just playing.
They're real good, Doc. My headache's all gone. What'd you start to say, Matt?
Nothing, Kitty. Nothing.
Hours, Marshal, and you've accomplished nothing. I demand legal action.
You haven't helped things any by lying to me, Jezra.
Lying to you?
You told me you never had an enemy in your life, but two or three young ladies over at the Long Branch disagree with you.
Dance hall girls.
Maybe so, but I'd sure hate to have them looking at me over a set of gun sights.
Abandoned, painting their faces, cavorting in public to the devil's music.
Then stay away if you don't like it, before you get a bullet in your back.
It wasn't a woman who fired them shots.
A woman wouldn't have to fire them, Jezra. She could get a man to do it for her.
Then why don't you jail them girls if they're plotting to kill me?
I don't have any proof of anybody plotting anything.
You're in league with the adversary, Marshal. You're aiding and abetting the forces of evil.
Let me tell you something, Jezra. I'll aid and abet anybody's right to live his own life according to his own lights. As long as he's within the law.
Mr. Dillon, I...
Yeah, what is it?
Could I see you a minute?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, what's the matter, Chester?
Well, it's Miss Kitty. She wants you over at the Long Branch right away.
Oh, what for?
Well, it seems there's a fellow there that's been drinking real heavy, Mr. Dillon, talking too much.
Oh?
And Miss Kitty heard him say he'd been offered $300 to kill old Jezra.
Free yourself of old-fashioned ideas.
Why don't you live modern? Live modern.
Free up, freshen up your taste.
Smoke an L&M.
Today, all over the country, more people are changing to L&M than to any other cigarette. And it's all because only L&M gives you full, exciting flavor through the pure white miracle tip. L&M draws easier, tastes richer, smokes cleaner. So free up, freshen up your taste. Live modern, change to L&M.
Make today your big red letter day and start to live the modern way. Live modern. Smoke an L&M.
It's America's fastest growing cigarette.
This way, Matt.
Right, Kitty. Come on, Chester.
Yes, sir.
He's playing poker over here with a house dealer and a couple of cowboys.
You been in here before?
Yeah, just during the last week. He's a drifter, I guess. Goes by the name of Puggy Rado. There. That's him, Matt, on the far side of the table.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he looks like a saddle bum.
And he was making out real braggy for a while. Fastest gun in Texas, that kind of talk. But I guess he knew he'd gone too far when he said that about Jezra Cobb. He shut up tight right after.
All right, Kitty, I'll try to get him away from that table.
Wait, Matt. I think he's coming over here.
Yeah. All
Reckon you're the marshal, ain't you?
That's right, yeah.
Now, reckon she heard what I said, sent for you. That's just what I figured she was doing.
Tommy!
Hold it, Marshal. You make one move toward that gun, and I'll put a bullet right in her back.
You get your hands off me.
Take it easy, kitty.
You tell her, Marshal. Tell her me and her is leaving now. And if anybody lays a hand on a gun, there's going to be a pretty corpse on the floor.
I told you to let go. Take it, Matt.
Drop the gun, Rado.
Not a chance. Yeah.
You all right, Kitty?
Yeah, I'm all right. Thanks, Matt.
Well, I had to kill him. There was no time for anything else.
Marshal, was that the man?
Yeah, it looks that way, Jezra. He was claiming somebody had offered him $300 to kill you.
Why, that's the fellow who...
Who what, Jezra?
Why, he stopped in at my place last week begging a handout. Did you say $300?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I got to be getting on home, Marshal. Got stock to tend to. Got a lot of things to tend to.
Well, forevermore, what come over him so sudden?
I don't know, Chester. But I think I can guess.
Kind of quiet, Mr. Dillon. Maybe Jezra ain't home yet.
There's a light on in the house.
That's a real proud barn yonder to be with such a poor built house, ain't it?
Yeah, it sure is. Good evening, Miss Cobb.
I do, Marshal Chester.
Miss Cobb?
Your husband get home yet, Miss Cobb?
He's out there in the barn. Won't you come in and set a spell?
Yes, we will, thank you. As a matter of fact, Miss Cobb, you're the one we rode out here to see.
That's right kind of you, Marshal. Now, you two set you down there at the table. Just this minute took a wild plum pie out of the oven.
Well, no, thank you, Miss Cobb.
Well,
I don't often get to feed callers. You ain't going to deprive me of the chance.
Maybe we could just taste it a little dab, Mr. Dillon.
All right, Chester. I always had the impression that you were opposed to visitors, Miss Cobb.
Oh, I love to have folks come. Jezra ain't never been one to encourage it.
Oh, I see.
The righteous must turn their faces from the world. For the world is the cradle of sin. That's what Jezra always said. There you are, piping hot.
My gracious, that smells good.
Well, eat hearty. There's plenty more, and it'll just go to waste. Jezra's never cared too much for plum pie.
Miss Cobb, how long have you and Jezra been married?
27 years, Marshal. 27 years.
And over those years, Miss Cobb, how many times did he beat you?
Hundreds of times. For my transgressions, he told me. He used to read me from the good book that a husband's got a right to do that. I ain't never learned to read myself. But last month, I asked Reverend Blaus, and he said there weren't nothing like that in the good book.
Well, maybe Jezra's got his own version.
He lied to me, that's what he done. And if he'd lie about that, then... Well, I reckon you know, don't you, Marshal?
Yes, ma'am. About you offering money to that drifter who rode through here last week. That you hired him to kill Jezra. Yes, ma'am, I guessed it.
Jezra did, too.
Well, I figured he did the way he acted in town.
He come home and told me about you having to shoot the man. Then he asked me for our savings. And I got it for him. He sat down here and counted it. And when he seen it was the same as that fella had been talking about, $300, then he knowed for sure.
What did he say?
Oh, nothing much. He just sat here a while, smiling at me kinda in that cold way of his. His glory smile, I always called it. And then he got up and went out to the barn. And, of course, I knowed what he was going for.
What do you mean?
He was aiming to fetch a hickory stave. He always keeps some out there to mend fences.
I declare, Mr. Dillon, a man like that ought to be, well...
I think, ma'am, maybe I better go have a little talk with Jezra.
Won't be no use, Marshal. Just won't be no use.
I think it will, ma'am.
Listen to me, Marshal. You're wasting your time. I'm trying to tell you. When he went to fetch that stave, I knowed what he was aiming to do. And I followed him out to the barn.
Yes?
I stood real close, Marshal, so I wouldn't miss. And I pulled the trigger 4 times. I put the gun there in the cupboard. I figured you'd be wanting it. Jezra ain't never gonna beat me no more. You sit right back down there and finish your pie.
In a moment, our star, William Conrad. If your daily routine never varies, chances are you're heading for a great big case of monotony. Everybody needs a break once in a while, and sometimes a vacation just once or twice a year isn't enough. But a break once a week would more than fill the bill. What could you do with that leisure time? Here's the answer to that. You can vary your routine with a fascinating and vital pursuit. Spotting planes for America's Ground Observer Corps. It's exciting. It's interesting, and just 2 hours a week of your spare time is all that's needed to keep up the 24-hour schedule of the GOC. Men and women from teenage up can help the Air Corps cover the blind spots in our radar system by volunteering for the Ground Observer Corps, a civilian component of the Air Defense Command. You'll be trained and supervised by officers and airmen of the Air Defense Command to spot planes in your area. Find out from your local civilian defense office how you can be a civilian ground observer. This has been a public service message by CBS Radio. And now, William Conrad.
You know, when a bad man riding a good horse came into Dodge looking for trouble, well, likely as not, he got a bullet hole placed in him. And the horse went to the man who did it. And that was the West.
Gunsmoke. Produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The script was specially written for Gunsmoke by Les Crutchfield, with editorial supervision by John Meston. The music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Ray Kemper and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Virginia Gregg, Ralph Moody, Don Diamond, and John Daner. Parley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.